time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes, yes. We back. We are back. This might be the last. No, it won't be, but we deep off in July.
Don't rush deep this off. Shit, nigga. The first is, yeah, we need to push the first back as far as we can.
Well, I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that. Yeah, slow the groove.
Slow it down. Let some of them invoices hit.
Yeah, man. Them net whatever's you got after that net. Let them nets net.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, but salute. What's going on with you? How you feeling, Muhammad?
Oh man, I'm doing really good. Been on my walk, my outside grind, even though it's hot.
You know? Okay.
My outdoor living grind. Trying to be a little more I wouldn't say adventurous, but a little more outdoor with it. You know what I'm saying? Not just outside, but outdoor. But I like to call it outside. So been doing a lot more of that. Switched up my routine, tried something new this weekend where, you know, I take my walks, my prescribed walks for my health. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to go Friday night, but it rained like a motherfucker. So I didn't go. So I ended up trying Saturday morning. So I went like first thing Saturday morning, like 9:30. And I decided I don't like walking in the morning on a weekend. Because went to the Beltline. It was a lot too many people, you know what I'm saying? Because all the classes and then the HIIT class and run ATL and they had like a little 5K. It was too much, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, all of the, you know, the working crowd, they going to be out there getting their exercise in first thing. And I found it to be too much going on for my liking. Mm-hmm. But I did it, you know what I'm saying? Put my steps in. And, but yeah, I didn't like the activity. So I like to do that shit on the wind down, everybody winding down, and then I could just do my shit and keep it moving. Mm-hmm. So when you do it with, it's like riding with traffic. You know what I'm saying?
Like too much shit going on.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Leave the house at 8:58, nigga. It's, you know, it's gonna be traffic. You know what I'm saying? Right. 8 o'clock, 8:30, it's gonna be rush hour. And you know, I didn't really expect that. But as soon as I got there, it was just no parking. Everybody in the class, all these groups doing their group things. You know, so I'm going to pass and go a little later every time. So did that. That was cool. Then we went fishing this weekend. Yeah.
I saw that on your story.
Yeah, it was it's a spot out here in Atlanta. And, you know, I forget the cat name. But he used to be in a group called the Outsiders out of Jersey. I think Eminem was affiliated with them at one point. There's a lot of different cats that been in and out of the Outsiders.
I remember the Outsiders, for sure. Was it Zeke? No, wait. What's the cat's name?
Keep going. Ty or Tyeek or something like that, I think this guy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But he got 75 acres here in Georgia.
Wow. And that's good to hear when you hear shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead.
Called Chase Farms, I think that's what he's calling it. 75 acres, got a little lake, you know what I'm saying? And he puts, you know, he invites groups to come out there and fish. You know what I mean? You know, you could give a donation, you know what I'm saying? Or you could tip or however you want to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Tyree,
I think that's his name, yeah.
Or Axe? Nah, well, he was called Axe, but born Tyree Smith?
Yeah, well, his name Tyree now.
Okay, that's probably, yeah, when you got them acres, you go back to your government.
I mean, when you got no album dropper.
Yeah, true indeed. Go ahead.
So he got that out there, and you know, my partner and them, they've been trying to do some outdoor stuff with an outdoor brand. I think it's called Sitka or something like that. Sitka. Okay. And so the guy that works at Sitka, black dude, you know what I'm saying? I think he the one found it. And so we all went out there. They had been out there before. This was my first time. And so we got a lake. You know, they went fishing. You know what I mean? So me, B, Eric Robinson was in town with his son. He had a show, I guess, Saturday night. So we went out there Sunday. And we all went fishing. I didn't fish per se. I was there, but I didn't fish. But I was on site.
Why you ain't fish? You ain't have a fishing pole, or you just was like,
eh? Nah, they have poles out there, but one, I don't really like to fish.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't got the patience?
Huh?
Nah, you don't got the patience?
Nah, I just don't like motherfucking squirmy ass fish. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
You know, but, you know, pulling them out then, you just throwing them back. It ain't like we're gonna have a fish fry.
Oh, y'all doing that. Y'all doing that. Yeah, okay. That's real fishing.
But I like to be outside. I like to be around. You know what I'm saying? If I had, the next time I go, I'll be a little more prepared with the things that I need to, so I could just kick back. You know what I'm saying? So I was there. I was the comic relief. You know what I'm saying? I ain't had no Sitka gear, so I didn't look like the outdoors. You know what I'm saying? So
this is outdoor gear that they put together.
Yeah, they put there. They call, people say that they the Louis Vuitton of outdoor gear.
And this is what they put together.
It's the guy who works there. He's like doing marketing there. He's just like outdoor shit. He's an outdoorsman. You know, he a hunter. You know what I'm saying? He's from Phoenix City, Alabama. He's like, they used to hunt motherfucking squirrels and rabbits and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm like, how the fuck you hunt a squirrel? If you don't want to shoot a squirrel, you just explode. They so little. But he was like, nah, he just used a different kind of
dart
ammo. You know what I'm saying? So he was there, you know, showing, basically he was the one teaching the kid how to do that shit. You know, he's just a avid outdoor fan, you know what I'm saying? Teaching us how to look for deer and shit, because the way they rub their antlers on the tree barks, you know? So I wouldn't have never known none of that. You know what I'm saying? Taught us how to, you know, spot a snake. I'm like, oh, shit. Now it's time to go.
Well, how you spot a snake? What do you mean?
He was just saying, look at the leaves and, you know what I'm saying? Well, he was talking about a specific snake in general, like a diamondback.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? A diamondback snake or whatever. But he's like, they blend in with the leaves, the brown leaves. So you got to watch when you're stepping on leaves and shit like that. Try not to, especially by water.
Okay.
So I'm out there with my, you know what I'm saying, my regular street gear on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've been telling jokes by my own self, like, shit. You know what I'm saying? They all dressed up in they hunting outdoor gear. I'm like, shit. It's like, get a load of this guy. You guys brought Michael Jordan, which, you know what I'm saying? This nigga dressed up in some basketball gear outside doing outdoor shit. And then Eric Robinson and them came through. And I ran the same joke with him. Like, get a load of Scottie Pippen here.
Eric Robinson had the regular shit on too?
Yeah, he had on like some Nikes and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Right.
And then they started calling that nigga Scottie Fishing. You know what I'm saying? We had a good time. So that was my part. You know what I'm saying? I'm just out here bringing the comedy.
Hey.
So it was good, man. We spent, probably about 4 or 5 hours out there. And then, headed on back to the city.
Were y'all in a boat or you just off?
No, we on the ground. Like, you know, it's a lake. You know what I'm saying? They had like little paddle boats. You could just go out on the water and fish out there. But I don't know nothing about this lake.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I wasn't prepared to get wet. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the guy who was in the boat, it didn't look like he got wet, but you know, nigga don't trust it. So, but yeah, he got the farm, 75 acres. You know, he's just getting kind of started. I mean, he's been there for quite some time, but just getting started doing this type of thing, what he's doing, bringing groups in and showing people the outdoors and that type of shit. So It's a good little thing.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. Your own farm. Mm-hmm. That sound. I like that, and I like the idea of that. You know what I mean? Like, I do. I like the idea of that. I don't know if I'm equipped for that, but I do like the idea. I would like to go to somebody's farm and see how, like, the logistics of it all, how they make it work. I see more and more black people, you know, of our generation that are like farming and creating farms,
yeah,
you know, and like, and gardening and, you know, living off the land. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I would like to live off the land a little bit, you know, just, yeah, a little bit at a time.
Do you really?
Ah, a little bit. Like I said, a little bit. Recreationally. Right. I would like to, you know what? That's a good question. That's a good, do you really? Because, like I said, listen, I'd like to have a nice little plot of land, like a recreation. I go see it. I go see it every so often. Visitation. Yeah, maybe it'd be like a, what do you call that? Like a little, not a cohort, but you know, it might be amongst a group, a co-op. Yeah, and I can come through one of my weekends and I go till some of the soil and whatever we got to do, pick up a little bit of
the soil.
I don't know. I'm just using farmer terms. Well, but there's a part of me that would like to, you know, ideally, mm-hmm, there's a part of me that would like to be able to grow some of my own crops, mm-hmm, you know, learn a little bit of that, just to live off the land, maybe learn how to, you know, grow some, you know, various, some greens of many varieties, whether, mm-hmm, it's some collard greens or some butter lettuce, or now I'm just naming shit that I see in the produce section. I'm doing all of this to save about $17 in produce.
Hey, you know, but you got it when you need it, especially when you get older. That's what I was thinking about, the fishing part. Like, if you had meditation, a house with a little lake, got some fish, mm-hmm, in it, you don't never have to be hungry.
No,
you know, go out there, fish up some dinner and put, you know what I'm saying, gut it, chop it up, and shit, there you go, you got dinner.
Kill a squirrel,
you know what I'm saying, go grab a head of butter lettuce and shit.
It is, there you go, that's all you need, that's a sufficient meal, and you feel good.
Right,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, and then you ain't got to go to the store, all that type of shit. But I spent a few summers on the farm, you know what I'm saying.
Really? Where?
My mom lived on a farm in Brownwood, Georgia.
Mm.
The Muslims had a farm in Brownwood. It was the Muslim farm. And at one point, we went up there. They had like a event to announce the farm. You know, mm-hmm, what I'm saying? Warf Deen Muhammad and that sect of Muslims. And so we went up there. It was a nice little event. You know what I'm saying? Muhammad Ali came. You know,
oh wow!
And I shadow box with him for, you know how Muhammad Ali be playing with the kids and shit. So
ass fly. You know, have you told this story before?
I don't know.
You ain't never take a flick with him? Did you take a flick?
Nah, you know, it wasn't that much cameras back then.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
So you had to be prepared back then.
For sure.
Yeah, you know, like you just snap and pull your phone out. Uh-huh. But so we went up there, and then I don't know what had happened. You know what I'm saying? But my mom ended up marrying a dude who manages the farm.
Okay.
So he had a farm that was like, you know what I'm saying, adjacent to it. So it was right next door, right across the little dirt road. And so when we used to go up there and see her, we'd be on the motherfucking farm. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't fabulous, you know what I'm saying? It was like a farm, nigga. Some fucking double wide trailers and the damn farms, chickens in the coop. They had a big watermelon crop. I think they had corn, some other shit. I think soybeans or some shit they was growing. And but the Muslim farm had a dairy plant on it, a dairy plant and a cannon factory. And so the guy, a canning factory where they can foods and shit.
Oh, canning. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
so you
gotta
get the crops, put that shit in cans, mm-hmm, put a label on that bitch, and take it to the store and sell it. You know what I'm saying? So, Brother Earl, that was my stepfather, I guess, my mom's husband. He was so much. It was just a wild time. Anyway, Brother Earl.
Shout out to Brother Earl.
Brother Earl. Brother Earl was cool. Brother Earl taught me a lot of shit about entrepreneurship. And so Brother Earl patented bean pie base. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you said this. Go ahead. I think you told us about this. Yeah, go ahead.
So he patented bean pie base.
That's crazy.
So bean pies take 2 days to make because you got to soak the soybeans for a day, and then you're able to smush them and make it into the pie shit. So basically, they'll boil the soybeans, smash them up, season them, put that shit in the can. You know what I'm saying? And we'll be in that bitch canning that shit. And then we'll take it. Then here, Brother Earl, take that shit to the Piggly Wiggly and sell that shit to the redneck manager. You know what I'm saying? He coming up with a pie and the cans and shit. And then, like, yeah, what is this you got here? And then he'll tell him, it was bean pie, blah, 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 made out of soybeans. Then he'll cut him a piece of the shit, give it to him. White man ate that shit. I was like, oh man, there's some good eating here. and then bought them, put them on the shelves. You know what I'm saying? So I've been to a few towns, Tuskegee, places like that, where he was, you know what I'm saying, selling that shit. So it was a good lesson. You know what I'm saying, in entrepreneurship and hustle. But that farm life ain't no Simple Simon shit. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like niggas was living it up out there. At least not in the 80s. He looked like a hard way to go. So
yeah,
farm didn't really take off. Like, it was supposed to be like, you know what I'm saying, like a, you know black Muslims was into self-sufficiency, you know what I'm saying, and build your own and nation building and shit. But you know what I'm saying, it's not easy. You know what I'm saying, that shit take money. And you out there on that farm, ain't nothing to do. You know what I'm saying? Your accommodations is you know what I mean, is meager. And shit, you know what I mean? So after that summer, you'd be like, man, I'm ready to go get back to the city. But yeah, that farm life is something different. But it is rewarding once you start harvesting the foods and all that type of stuff. And you eating the watermelon that you helped plant. Or, you know what I mean? The trip shit was when they go out there and get dinner from the chicken coop, nigga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, damn, I just seen that nigga this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Now you on my plate.
All right. Broken down.
Yeah. Damn. So, that's good. But yeah, I mean, but this day and age, you know, a lot of people are taking back their freedom. You know what I'm saying? Just getting out of the, you know, the hustle and bustle of the city, and reclaiming space where it's just like, you know what, I just want to be outside. I want to see the stars. Like, being able to, like, you sometimes you don't even see the stars when you're in the city. You know what I mean?
No.
When you in the country, though, that's all you see. When you know what I'm saying? Stars all over. Like, damn, we ain't out here alone, you know? So I've seen, you know, like, it's a lot of people that's on it, you know what I'm saying? So, like I said, when I was talking about Kai and her truck, a lot of times she's posting pictures of her place upstate that's in a rural space, you know what I'm saying? And showing, you know, how, you know, New Yorkers do it. They kind of like weekenders, but the way that she's showing it, it's kind of like, this is how I'm living. It's free. I'm enjoying this motherfucking spring water coming up, you know what I'm saying? This creek, you know what I mean? All that type shit. While everybody else is, you know, still hustling and bustling and doing the fashion shit. But there are people out there that are showing a whole nother side of how to fucking chill.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting to see. It's interesting to see. Like I said, it's interesting to see. And it is tedious when you really get beyond the real of it all. Because, you know, I could watch you know, whether it's Kai or Kalise or whomever. Oh, yeah,
Kalise.
Jordy
Patterson.
Right. You know what I mean? That 30 seconds is enthralling. You know what I'm saying? It edited well. You know, man. But shit.
Let me get off this porch before these mosquitoes tear me up.
Right. Yeah. But I also like the, to your point of like some people are doing it weekenders, I like the escape of it. You know, like to just go out there and get away from, you know, yeah, all this hustle and bustle, get in, start breathing in some fresher air. It's quiet. You know, I always typically like the drive. Mm-hmm. You know, I like a good drive. I like a good drive, especially to go yonder. You know what I'm saying? Good drive to yonder. It's always cool. But yeah, man, salute to the farmers out there. Huh?
You be doing a drive on the city side of things.
I drive in all conditions, man. I was just talking to somebody yesterday. You know, yeah, I don't mind it. You know, it's funny. I don't like traffic, but it doesn't bother me as much as some. Mm-hmm. But I do love a good open road drive. You know, nice little playlist rocking. You know what I'm saying? AC feeling good. You know, scenic. Sometimes nice little scenic route. Take a scenic route, not just because I'm trying to avoid tolls, but you know, sometimes just intentionally. Oh, absolutely. You know. Speaking of that, I wish. I've been saying this for a long time. Maybe this is something that can happen, or maybe they need an app to do it. But I don't know why there's no, you know how you can make a playlist, right? And you know how you could also make a queue of the podcast you listen to. I wish there was a way to where you could put all of that in one playlist. Where it's like, let me hear about 6 records. Then let me go into a podcast. And then let me hear like another 11 records, and then I go into a little podcast.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Think you can on Spotify.
Oh, find out. Go shout out to Spotify.
Because you just add to your queue. See,
more Apple.
Apple, you go to the podcast app or the podcast section or whatever.
Right.
Spotify is kind of like all in the same. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you just add this to your queue, that to your queue. Like when I open up my Spotify now, that's what made me think of it. I never did it the way you talking about. But when I open it up, I see 2 podcasts that I listen to. Then I see, you know what I'm saying, the playlist of songs that I listen to. All of it be right up there at the top. So you could press it again. So I'm sure, I haven't tried it, but I'm just guessing that you can just add it to your queue. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's fun. That's dope. Apple need to go ahead and get that off. Apple needs to for real get that together. That would be kind of cool. They could do that. Listen, I'm telling Apple what to do. All I got to do is just cancel Apple and go over there to Spotify, see what it is. I'm getting into that. Like, I'm starting to be a little bit more
discerning.
A la carte. Yeah, discerning a la carte with my streaming. You know, like, I'm starting to really... I've just been paying attention more to certain things. Like, I'm looking at Netflix sideways, you know? Fortunately, not even fortunately, but it's come to the end of the road for some family members and me, you know, all on the same plan. You know what I mean? Like, I was holding us down in the Netflix capacity. You know, we all share, you know what I'm saying, different resources. But it's just started to get a little too expansive, and Netflix was shutting, throwing people off. And, you know what I mean, it was too many different IP addresses for what we was paying. So we splintered off. And so now it's me. And for a while, I was thinking about killing Netflix just because I don't engage that much with Netflix. Quietly, I think Netflix fell off a bit, you know. Every so often there's something there, but out of the streaming services, it's probably my least watched one, even though it is still the one as far as brand recognition goes. I would say they still the leader in the space, you know what I mean? Netflix and chill, you know? But I've been thinking about cutting certain things off. Like, let me cut this off, or let me do a month of this and see what that's about. Kill that off. And, you know, I'm just starting to be more intentional about the media intake. There's also stuff like I'm starting to not even mute, but I might start unfollowing certain accounts, you know? Like, mm-hmm. there's certain accounts on Instagram in particular that purport to be uplifting black people and black issues, but, you know, it is also an account that they want to get traction and engagement. And I've noticed that quite a few of these accounts, they like to like post a lot of hysteria or triggering things, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. in the guise of informing. Because they know that it's going to get a lot of engagement. Can you believe this shit? You know, it's a whole lot of that. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes I take the bait. I'm never somebody to jump in the comments, but I will lurk the comments to see if anybody feel how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I told you, I see a little comment skirmishes and things like that. My favorite thing in the comments is when it's a comment skirmish, and this is rare, when it's a little comment skirmish, they go back and forth, and then they come to an understanding, and they say, all right, you got it. You know what I mean? Fair enough. That's a good point. True indeed.
It's rare. Yeah, well, it's rare.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to give up on the comments.
Mm-mm. That's their glory. But sometimes every so often, cooler heads prevail. Mm-hmm. But I find myself looking at some of these accounts, and I'm like, are you for the people, or are you just, you know what I mean, these metrics?
It's tough because you do have a metrics thing that you had to abide by. And, you know, I'm just speaking from when I was doing news.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, you know what I'm saying, some people in the organization were saying, y'all doing a lot of trauma porn or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, these things do exist. And these things are real. And these things do have to be addressed. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you might get, you know, a 19-year-old girl is brutally murdered by, you know what I'm saying, people close to, around her, and nobody is being charged. You know what I'm saying? So when you put it up, it could sound like trauma porn, or it could look like trauma porn. But the whole point is to bring awareness so that somebody can mm-hmm. be held accountable. You know what I'm saying? And that's a daily back and forth you have with yourself. Is this gratuitous, or is it a reason? You know what I mean? And again, there were accounts, after we started doing that, there were accounts that started doing the same thing, but not with the level of thought to, okay, is this something that needs to be told, or is we just telling some shit because it was crazy? You know what I'm saying? And I see my man, this guy started one, doing the same type of news, but he was just going for the gratuitous. And, you know, some of it could fit in that lane, but a lot of it was just, you know, such and such husband bashed her head in, you know what I'm saying, without the context of femicide and how it's a problem. You know what I'm saying? How, like, states like Wisconsin is number one in femicide on black women, or how LA had a femicide problem going on. Like, nobody was saying it, so somebody had to say it. But when you say it, sometimes it sounds like, oh, they just trauma porn and they trying to, you know, get clicks. But nigga, this shit is a real thing going on, man. So it's, you know, you gotta, I'm glad I don't do it anymore, but you know what I'm saying, sometimes you have to be a place where people can be informed. And, you know, you take those chances.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I wasn't even really thinking about the issues, because those are issues. Those are things that are going on, and yeah, they are traumatic.
But what I'm saying is, people could look at it and skip the issue part and just look at the headline. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. But to my point, what I was saying, what specifically more so than the issues, because that, to your point, those things need to be amplified so there can be justice served, right? Or that people are more aware and, mm-hmm. you know, the proper attention could be you know, positioned towards a great outcome, some type of solution. I'm more so looking at all of the Trump trolling and the 24-hour president bullshit. And it's just really, it's like, can you believe this shit? Like, it's all of these is like, can look at this motherfucker did again. Mm-hmm. And I recognize that the last term. You know, he's a 24-hour president. He's somebody that's going to tweet something at 3:14 in the morning. Mm-hmm. That's going to, it don't really mean much, but it's going to get a headline. It's going to be provocative. It's going to upset some people. And I could see sometimes that shit will have an effect on my mood, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't need to engage in too much of this. This is ridiculous. But I do understand Trump, whether you like him or not, is a ratings juggernaut for both sides, you know? So whether he's hitting you in the head with MAGA, you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure if you hip to MAGA yet.
I'm not.
But let's make Indians good again, where he was talking about, listen, I don't know, whatever, the Washington, whatever they call, they need to go back to being the Redskins, or I'm not giving them no money. Because I think that the Indians, this ain't the country it was 3-4 years ago. I think Indians want to be seen. So make Indians great again. You know what I mean? It's like, what is this nigga talking about? But, and it's just like, why has this got me activated? You know, and it goes, there's various levels of the provocation. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's a part of, I got to get back to my healthy tune out. You know what I'm saying? There's certain shit I just got to tune out, because I got to, as they say, protect my peace. Mm-hmm. But back real quick, back to the streaming thing. This is something also I thought about, though, particularly, you know, with all of these streaming networks. I did realize, I don't know when I came to this conclusion, but like, between all of these streaming platforms, it made me have a little bit more sympathy towards development executives, mm-hmm. right? You know, because there's always people like, yo, these people, I mean, these development executives, are they even working? Or what kind of shit are they approving? This is bullshit. Why we don't? But when I'm cycling through all of these TV shows and movies on all of these streaming services, that shit is overwhelming. Now, mm-hmm. imagine being pitched all of that shit and your job is on the line and you want to have some heat. You want good shit. You need a win. A lot of this shit is not great. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like you got to pull the trigger on something. And it just made me say, okay, I could kind of understand, you know, the overwhelm that some of these people could kind of go through, you know? But, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was just one thing that I peeped out.
Yeah, man, it's going to always be a lot more. It's going to be a few wins and then a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be some standout shows that, you know, some people watch. And it's going to be a lot of other stuff that people watch, but they're not the show that everybody talking about at once. You know what I mean? Some shows people discover later. And in that particular job in creating, it's kind of like you hedging your bets. You're trying to, you want something to hit for everybody, all the whole world, and be number one. But with all the other factors, sometimes it just get caught in the middle or the mush. You know what I'm saying? And you gotta be able to live with it. You gotta be able to, when you're building, especially like a network or something. You want your hits, but then you want them other things that you're building to follow it, so that if the hit fall off, you still got a catalog of things that people do watch. They might not be the number one shit, but they watch it, and you stay there until you get you another hit. So it's a cycle of building. It's a equation of building to have a well-rounded thing, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, Netflix, we might say it fell off, but you know, because it might only be two shows that we watch on that motherfucker when they got hundreds and hundreds of shows. But, you know, everybody got a hedge, and they serving a worldwide community, and that's new to this generation. Before, people was just serving either a local city or America, you know what I'm saying, until they go break off into syndication. Now, these places are serving the globe. And we all on there trying to see what's up.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense. I get it. But I will still drop out every so often, I think. I think I'm going to start exercising the opt out. You know what I mean?
I've been opting out for quite a little bit, about a year and a half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. You watching anything on TV good besides, I know.
I ain't even watching TV like that.
Okay.
I've been watching the world. I've been trying to, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to figure out the new outside. Because, you know what I'm saying? Everybody, the AI gold rush is going on. Everybody chat GPT-ing. But people still got to go outside right now. And I feel like there's an opportunity out there that we can overlook by looking in these phones and these computers. So, you know, taking those breaks and going fishing and doing all this outdoor shit, it's another world to be explored that's going to be kind of there for the taking if everybody's rushing to go one way. People going to still want to experience some fresh air sometimes, man.
Mm-hmm.
Might want to stretch, might want to walk, might want to bump into a motherfucker. Instead of, you know what I'm saying? Instead of the algorithm just sending you shit on your phone or on your computer. So I don't know what none of that means. I just know something in me is saying, you know what, go outside. So that's where I'm at. Well, I haven't, like I said, I got a nice new TV system going on, but I haven't really spent time going through it and, you know what I'm saying, feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I hear that. Just let it settle. Yeah, I hear it. I feel you. Oh, shit. I was outside a little something this weekend.
Well,
that's super crazy. Where'd I go? I mean, I had shows, so I don't know if that counts for outside because that's work and it's inside. I just got to go outside to get to another inside. But
streets don't.
Yeah. I'm still out there. I'm trying to think where'd I go. I went to the softball game. Rennell Medrano was Iced Studios softball game. Yeah. I wanted to check that out because it was looking like it could be some old rock and jock type shit. You know what I'm saying? It just looked like, you know. I've spoken before about Rennell and the Ice Studios movement. We both spoken about it. And I like how she building something that seems to be not experiential, but like cultural. Like, mm-hmm. You know, there's moments like that feel like moments of years past mm-hmm. where... You know, whether it's what's on your TV, what's on your phone, what's in this magazine comes to life in your city. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? To where you could kind of engage with the people, you know what I'm saying? And the lifestyle, you know, in real life. So basically it was a softball game. You know, we spoke about Rennell. She's a photographer, photographed everybody from Kendrick Lamar to Justin Bieber. Just directed that Bad Bunny video recently. You know what I'm saying? On fire. Mm-hmm. And has a crazy following. A lot of women follow her. She did the Ice Studios kind of like players homage, mm-hmm. fan, like zine. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. There's a lot of, I don't know, vixens is still a word to be used, but there's a lot of vixens playing baseball or softball, you know what I mean, in real life. And then people was out there, and it was like a Nike event, and it was free to the public. So I fell through. I had some time before I was going to go and perform. So I went through there just to kick it and see it up close, you know what I'm saying? And it was a vibe. It was a nice little vibe. It was, they would look like really... They were really playing competitive ass, you know, they was playing competitive. It wasn't just some old fluff shit. Motherfuckers was trying to win. So that was kind of cool. You know, some urban, a league of their own type of shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was some of the faces that you know, that in that orbit. I seen Bernice Burgos was out there. JT from City Girls was out there. I don't know if she played, but and then other various models and everything like that. It was a vibe, and then it was just cats just kicking it. They was doing a little free barbecue off to the side, and it was just chill. It wasn't a whole lot of people there, but it was nice. It was nice. Nice, cool day. It wasn't super hot. Wasn't cold. It wasn't rainy. Nice little vibe. You know what I mean? Nice little vibe.
No doubt.
So I did that.
Man, before you move on, yeah. I will say this about, you know, Rennell and, you know, a lot of the women that's out there that's kind of taking the woman's narrative into their own fold. You know what I'm saying? We know the big ones, you know, the Issa Rae's and the Hollywood ones and stuff like that. But on just some culture stuff and just like, you know, with her magazine, it's like spinning what men used to be the publishers of King and shit like that. They're taking their own narrative. She's a photographer. She knows models. She knows women. You know what I'm saying? And she's developing a voice for women up under a woman's voice and not up under a man's voice. And, you know, it's one of the things, you know, I was working on this project once and I was soliciting some women to be a part of the project. And these people I knew. And they were like, nah, I don't want to do it. And then you see them have the same conversation other places. You're like, damn, what's up? But then when you really start to look, they don't need no man to help them tell their story. You know what I'm saying? They don't need no man to tell their story too, because they could do it amongst themselves and platform it. You know what I'm saying? Because they've always done that. But now they're platforming it in a way where they're developing the community of how they feel in their crew or their group women should look. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times with Rennell's stuff and her work, it's like she's championing the, I call them the organics. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that there was no plastic surgery in the mix, but a lot of times she's championing a whole nother body style, a whole nother look that's not always represented in the mainstream, and that's always a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Just like in the 90s when men did it with hip hop. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's their time. It's their voice. They're doing their thing. I like watching it so you could see where shit going, so you could see how the narrative is shifting so that you can communicate in a better way. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to just relying on old tropes and old ways of communication to this discussion or this visual, you know. So I applaud her for the shit she got going on, and you know, glad you got a chance to see it up close as it's growing.
Yeah, it was cool. Got me some crabs. You know what I'm saying? Did that. Got
it's the most it's the most crab eating, allergic to crabs ass nigga I know.
I ain't allergic no more, man. I'm trying to, you know, catching up.
So you got me some crabs. No more.
Not anymore. We did it. We passed through that shit. That was a moment in time. So
hey,
I got
that speaks to the will of the human. You know what I'm saying? You can eradicate any any type of thing. You willed. I'm gonna eat these crabs.
Yeah, man. I shook that shit. So I did that. You know what I mean? A little bit of compartmentalized brutality. You know what I'm saying? But it was cool. It was cool. Crabs ain't been as big as they've been in the past few seasons. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on. Maybe that's a global warming thing. But I just did it. You know, that's part of one of my little, that's part of my meditation at times. Just to chill. Have that. What else did I do? I didn't really went out, seen, I went, you know, I did went go see my family, binge watch some of the Sha. I'm probably two episodes away from being caught up. Mm-hmm. And I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. It ain't the best season. It's not the best season. It is what it is. Yeah, I wish I was more excited about it, but it is what it is. They killed off, or from what I understand, I'm not all the way caught up, but it looks like one of my favorite characters is maybe no more. You know what I mean? So we'll see. I got a couple more episodes. I'll probably catch up maybe later on this week. See that. Man, what else is going on, dog? Why, you know. My shit is very chill. I ain't really doing a whole lot. I got a Sonicare update. I told y'all last week I was trying to get in that electric toothbrush. I told y'all I was trying to break into that shit and fix it, and I did. Cracked that shit. I don't even know how it happened, but I got them clips. Got that motor out. All you had to do, tighten that screw. That shit right back. So that felt good.
So you found something slim enough to get it out?
Yeah. I had to say, I was using these little slim flathead screwdrivers, real slim joints. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I needed to do was find a place within my home that was solid enough that I could push the shit down without it puncturing or like, so I found the little spot where I finally just popped that shit. You know what I mean? Like it just popped it. Got in there, shoot. Brand new. And it felt good. Yeah, small victories. Good, huh? Yeah. A small victory.
Handy,
felt
handy dandy.
Yo, felt good. So that was that.
Yeah. It's a nigga, I just discovered him today. I mean, I started seeing it like yesterday. But it's a cat on Instagram. And and the tag, like the POV is, you know what I'm saying, basically getting schooled by Uncle Bruce, you know what I'm saying? And then it'd be a nigga like talking to his nephew and it'd be like he'll have like a charging thing, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To jump a car. He's like, what's this car? It's like a charging thing. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Then he'll point to the red side. What side is this? You know what I'm saying? Started to try to say, like, God damn it, man, just shut up if you don't know. It don't, you don't have to know. You know what I'm saying? And it's probably scripted, but it sounds so real the way he do it, because he kind of fussing them out, giving them hard fucking teaching advice. Like, so this is the positive side. So if this is the positive side, what side is this? And then the nephew like, see, God damn, they ain't teach you nothing in school, man. yeah, put two and two together, man. It's the negative side. And he teaching them like everyday household shit or like like measuring wood and starting the lawnmower, fixing the car. But it's like practical skills, but it's in with humor and it feels real, but you know, it's obviously some scripted shit. But I like the way that some of these cats are taking this stuff now. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just all fun and games. Like, we done passed through the era of it's just fun and games and pranks. Now people are thinking a little more, which is making it a lot more interesting, especially to somebody like me. I enjoy what they got going on. You know what I'm saying? So it sounds like you know, they teaching these skills, these bygone skills, and bringing them into the forefront, which is quite fun. And it always feels good when you could fix some shit.
Yeah, it do. Feels liberating. You know what I mean? It feels liberating, and it feels like you got a deal. You know what I'm saying? Because it's either that or you're going to have to go buy a whole nother one, and then you realize all you had to do was that? Like, yeah, it's one of the best. It's one of the best. It's like, okay, I got that. Just feels Yeah, I like that shit. What's my man's name is Uncle Bruce.
Uncle Bruce is what the thing is. That's not the name of the account, but every time I see it, it'd be like such and such with Uncle Bruce.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like it's just a regular old dude. You know what I'm saying? Teaching, just talking shit like your uncle would. Like, man, look here, man. You're gonna learn. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna measure this shit 3 times before you cut, cause you ain't finna be fucking up my wood. You know, shit like that.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's funny shit, man. And it's a couple of these little accounts like that, but that's the only one I could think of right now.
What's up? What else is going on your side?
Man, I'm about to go, speaking of handy and outdoors, I'm about to go pick up the Lex in a couple of days. They're done with it, so I'm gonna probably go get it Friday. And know, start these adventures, I suppose. You know what I'm saying? Take it outdooring and be intentional about hitting out the wide open roads and landing up in a field and fucking doing some shit. You know what I mean? Some outdoor type shit. Because what else is it? You know, we know how to go outside. We know how to go to the club. You know what I'm saying? We know how to drink as much as we could drink. You know what I'm saying? So let's try some other shit. I'm in Georgia. I'm sure it's a little outdoor shit to do. Take a trip to the beach down in Florida. All kind of shit. I bought the truck with that in mind. So I'm excited to just get out and do some shit and document some shit and see where it takes life. Because I don't know what I don't have no plan. So I just want to see where life goes.
Well, that's good. And it makes good sense, too, just timing-wise. You getting the Lex land out, and Raekwon just dropped a new album, so it just makes it's all synergistic. You know what I mean?
The cream, this marvelous land, synchronicity,
huh?
The cream Lex diamond.
You know what I mean? Right. It all links up. That's
cream,
fire.
Get the money, dollar bill, y'all.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like one of them things, you know what I'm saying? It's just a vehicle. It's 4 wheels, you know what I'm saying? But with all of what's going on in the head and around and fishing and all this stuff, it's like, wow, we could really fucking use it to its fullest potential as opposed to just riding down the street, parking in the parking lot, hoping you don't get no boot, you know? Yeah, and pull on some of these dirt roads, man, and hang out. Just, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got to camp, but you can go out and hang out for, you know what I'm saying, the day and then get back on the road.
That sounds fun.
That's how I'm going to start, you know what I mean? I don't know where I go from there, but that's where I start.
Your outdoorsman flow, that's fly.
But I don't want to be too outdoors, but outdoors enough.
Okay. Somewhat
yeah.
outdoors.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Hybrid.
Got you. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A little hybrid flow. Find me a little garden. But I still wanna, you know what I'm saying? I still wanna a tea. You know what I'm saying? I still wanna be able to chill, but I just wanna have options now. And it's crazy because, like, growing up, the way that I grew up, you know, you get shipped off to these different places. So, like I said, I done spent summers in the goddamn country, rural farm shit. I done spent summers in Cleveland, in the city. And as rough and tumble as Cleveland is, I discovered most of my culture shit there. Because where my aunt lived on Huff, you know, Rockefeller Park was right across the block, and all of the museums were there. So when you just out wandering, they got a koi pond, you know what I'm saying? They got the natural museum. They got all these other museums. You go in there, see the dinosaurs and shit. And, nigga, you wouldn't expect that from Cleveland. But that's the Cleveland that I experienced, even though it was the hoodest of the hood. You come back to the block, they got, like, I'm from a place they probably had pimps, but you didn't really see them. These people got pimps on the street, you know what I'm saying? Cadillac Sevilles and hoes and tricks. Right there, like real, like TV shit. But again, I remember the culture stuff a lot more than I remember it being the hoodest of the hood.
Right.
So, so you know, at some point, you start putting all these things together to add to your life and find the places and just end up places with serendipity. And shit, at the end, that'll be life. One day you'll die on the trail. And but at least I'm on the trail. I don't want to die in the motherfucking Lazy Boy chair. Unless I done just got back home from somewhere. I don't want to sit there for years and then just disintegrate.
Yeah, just wither away.
Yeah.
Melt into the seat.
Yeah, nah, I'm going to be outside.
I could dig it.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? This week came in with a lot of, you know, came in hard. You know what I'm saying? And Monday brought us the death of Malcolm Jamal Warner. You know what I'm saying? Rest in peace. You know what I'm saying?
Rest in peace.
A brother who has brought my childhood, a lot of our childhoods, a lot of joy. You know what I'm saying? He became probably the first relatable black kid on TV that, you know, he felt like he was a peer, a friend of yours. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like he was observing some, you know, wild lifestyle. They kind of hit it right on the head to where they were, you know, upwardly mobile, but he just felt like a regular kid. He wasn't an A student, you know what I'm saying? He always had beef with his pops about something minute like we do. You know what I'm saying? He dressed in clothes that we would wear, you know. He felt like one of us, you know what I'm saying? And he's held that space, at least in my childhood, in my memory, in my, you know, in my world. He held that place that I don't think anybody has ever replaced him in that space, you know what I mean? Because, you know, soon thereafter, it went to more, you know, hardcore stuff, thug stuff, and gangster stuff. So that piece of time is special that he held, and that character was special, you know what I'm saying, along with all the other characters in that show. But for a boy, a male, he was the representative. And, you know, it's very sad, you know what I'm saying, for the brother to go out and you know, not that old, and to not be to leave a family and shit, you know. It's terrible, but that's what had happened. That's how Monday kicked off.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, really sad. I still ain't really, I guess, processed it like that. Everything you said, though, I totally agree with. You know, it's just relatable. Mm-hmm. Felt, you know, familiar. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, it really did feel like somebody that everything you said, and it's mm-hmm. just and you know, and even beyond that, you know, just when you would see him in the, you know, like in the world, whether through, you know, interviews or you know, him doing his poetry and things like that, he carried a level of grace to mm-hmm. his maturity, you know, like mm-hmm. you know, there's Theo and then there's Malcolm Jamal Warner, you mm-hmm. know, like and they both, you know, both made you proud on a certain level, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? I have no real connection to him beyond the character that he played and the fact that that meant so much to my upbringing mm-hmm. that you're connected in a way, you know what I mean? And it's just, it's one of those that's just a blow, feels like a pillar of your childhood, you know, gone, you know? And mm-hmm. I mean, we all on the same line, but it's just like, for it to be so sudden, you know what I mean? For him to be so young, you know, mm-hmm. it's just, damn. You know, it's shocking. You know, like, it's shocking. Mm-hmm. Again, like, it just the news just came out yesterday. And, you know, I see a lot of the tributes that are out there. And, you know, I don't really have much more to say than what you just said. But, yeah, he's definitely, played a key role in, my childhood. You know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. Wow, damn. You know, so rest in peace to Malcolm Jamal Warner, for sure. Rest in peace to him.
Shout out to his wife and kids, you know.
Yeah.
Friends, family.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah. Yeah, man, that's crazy. But I think it's time for us to transform and roll out. I will say this. We'll kick it off here. This first announcement. I'll be headlining Comedy in Harlem November 15th. Doing a show uptown. Shout out to my man Jamie Roberts. Shout out to Nikki Sunshine. Mm-hmm. It's been a minute. Headlined a show in New York City. It's been a little while. So that's going to be fun, you know. That's right up the block from where I used to live. So that's going to be a good time. I play Comedy in Harlem quite a bit. I actually be there on August 8th. Mm-hmm. So on the regular show. But we're going to headline out there November 15th. Ticket link will be up by the time you hear this. And come out. Probably have some more dates coming up soon. But, that's it. That's it. I'm about to... literally transform and roll out, man. Hey, y'all take it easy, and as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in a conversation. We out.